This episode of Talking Ball, y'all, is brought to you by Yoon Nutrition, and it's loaded with baseball just like their tees. We want to give a shout-out to PRCC's baseball team, who is on a 23-game winning streak. The Wildcats' Hollis Porter has 17 home runs and counting. The Wildcats are heading down to Biloxi for an exhibition matchup against the Shuckers. Interviews for this episode will consist of Rossi Creel talking Poplarville Hornet baseball, Darby McCraney talking PRC Blue Devil baseball, and Evan Nicholson talking Picayune baseball. All three county schools lead their district. Should be a fun episode, so sit back and enjoy.
It feels good to buy local. Whether you're supporting your community small businesses, family-owned restaurants, or Farm Bureau Insurance, the local agents at Farm Bureau Insurance are dedicated to always helping you protect what's important. Farm Bureau Insurance is headquartered right here in Mississippi, with local agents in your community. If you're shopping for car, home, or life insurance in the Poplarville area, call Kate Amaker at 601-795-4585. Or if you're in the Picayune Career area, call Robert Hester, Jeremy Chesby, or me, Ross Gilbo, at 601-798-2861. And go with the home team, Mississippi Farm Bureau Casualty, Southern Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company, Jackson, Mississippi.
We are now thrilled to be joined by really a member of our team up in the Poplarville way, Rossi Creel. Rossi, we thank you, man, not only for today's time, but so much time you've given to Jeff and I and the Talking Ball Y'all brand. You've been a godsend to us with what you've done there in Poplarville. We're happy to talk Poplarville baseball, but it was good to catch up with you a little bit prior to recording this.
Yeah, good to be on with you today, Clay. You know, I'm more of a football guy than I am a baseball guy, but it's kind of exciting to see what our Hornet baseball team's been doing this year. So I've been following and attending most all of their home games and watching these kids do a really good job. Coach Grader's done a really good job kind of keeping this program going and having a whole lot of success.
When you look at it, Rossi leading the district after a big win last night over Greene County. Can you tell us about that ball game? And then we'll talk about the year in general. But let's start with last night's ball game and what you saw out of the Hornets.
Man, the Hornets, they got off to a quick start in the bottom of the first. Emil Pace hit it looked like he got under the ball, and it was just a really high fly ball. Looked like it was going to be a routine fly ball to dead center field, and the breeze was just blowing straight out that way, and that ball got up in that breeze, and it just kept going and going and went over that big center field wall to put the Hornets up 1-0. And then after that, they kind of struggled, you know, going gave up a lot of hits, some walks. Well, I say a lot of hits. They didn't really give up a whole lot of hits. They a lot of walks, and then the hits came with runners on base, and Greene County was able to score several runs there. And so going into the bottom of the sixth inning, the Hornets were down 7-3. It wasn't looking good for them, but their bats got hot in the bottom of the sixth. They were able to score five runs and go into the top of the seventh with an 8-7 lead. Chase Owens comes in and does his best Mariano Rivera impression, and three up, three down, shuts them down for just a huge come from behind district win. So, and they've really got the momentum going into Friday when they go up to Greene County to play them, and that win's going to secure a district championship for the Hornets.
That's awesome, Ross. We appreciate your recap there. You must have been looking at my notes, man. I wanted to mention both Sones and Smith. Max Prep stuff, which you'll know from football prep, can sometimes lead you in a bad direction, but right. Their numbers is just have them listed as freshmen. Pretty impressive out on the hill for Poplarville.
Yeah, those kids have done just a really good job this year. The Smith kid, I can't remember his first name, came in relief in the sixth inning last night and did a really good job. And then Chase Owens was able to finish it up.
Well, and from what I was able to see, I was able to call a ball game earlier, of course, with Popperville, and then had the pleasure of having Coach Grader on for a preview. Really, I think that's the question mark, right, is can we get the outs that we need off the mound from this team? Because I think the bats and the speed on the base paths are really going to be there, Ross. So you look at what you mentioned, pace there in the recap from last night, the way Shepard, Brock Shepard has swung the bat for Popperville, and then Keys up at 20 stolen bases already on the year. Offensively, I don't think there's really any question mark from the Hornets. That's been a really impressive offensive unit from start to finish for Popperville.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, when their bats get hot, they're hot. And, you know, there are only three seniors on this baseball team. And so they're a really young team. But, you know, I've had several conversations with some of these players and told them, man, you guys are set up in a perfect opportunity to have a coach like Ashley Grader, who has played every single level of baseball, especially these kids that are coming up as catchers. You know, I told him that's the position he played. Y'all need to hang on every single word he says to you. And they, you know, some of these kids, especially the freshmen, you got a freshman catcher in Luke Sones, another freshman catcher coming up in Chadwick Brown. You know, those are two kids that, man, if Ashley Grader spoke, they've just got to listen to what he says, because he knows the game. He knows that position better than anything. So they've got the potential to be really good if they just pay attention and follow his leadership, and I think they're going to be really good over the next few years.
I'm going to get in trouble here because I think I'm going to leave at least one out. I know that I'm not going to leave Colby Hathorn out. He's a buddy of mine. Then Coach Tynes also coming over and helping. I'm missing an assistant coach there, Rossi, but from top to bottom, this is a staff that if – as you said, you know, it seems like the kids are buying in with Coach Grader's first year. And even, you know, just following from afar, I see them getting better each week. I think that's going to continue to happen for the Hornets under his leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. And Josiah Nealis is another assistant, and Chandler Ray as well. And, you know, Chandler Ray, he's a Popperville guy that came up through this program as well as Ashley. And so you've got some homegrown guys there that are leading the program and have a lot of experience in baseball at the next level and beyond that with Ashley especially.
And such a beautiful facility, Rossi. We often talked about it when I was helping cover Popperville, the pride that Popperville takes in their community and their athletics. But that baseball diamond with the turf, the way that you come into that complex, so much to be proud of, man. It's really a jewel, a beautiful place. Got to take in some junior high baseball there earlier this season, and it is just a really pretty place.
Oh, absolutely. It's beautiful. All the work they've done, all our athletic facilities, you know, that big entrance way with your new turfed football field on the right as you come in, baseball field on the left, and softball back in the back with their new entranceway and facility there. And speaking of which, they had a big 9-1 win last night over Bay High. So our softball girls there are looking at securing a district championship as well.
Nice.
Come Thursday night.
Well, good for them, man. That's awesome too. How have the crowds been, Rossi? I was, which you get two local, you know, county schools together in Picayune. Popperville was really kind of a cool thing. They had to reschedule a junior high baseball game, and then actually varsity was going to take place later that night. So you had Coach Ricky Smith and the past Pirates coming to Popperville. So it was pretty cool to see the crowd beginning to build for varsity. There was already a nice junior high crowd there, but I bet this team's beginning to really get some crowd support out with their results.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's typical as a team gets better and better and you start to see their talent really progress and those wins really start to pile up. Well, the stands start to fill up as well. And Greene County brought a good crowd last night as well. So we, you know, you had pretty much a full facility last night watching this ball game. It was just a great atmosphere. He did have a rain delay for a little while. He had a pretty good rain shower come through, so they had to stop for a little bit. But once they picked it back up, it was just a really, really exciting ball game and and huge win for these Hornets.
And that turf certainly helps with that, as you can pretty much not have to worry about any kind of weather-related stuff. You talked about the youth of this club. Rossi, this is going to be a fun team. And when Coach Grader, you mentioned his roots there in Popperville, that had to be one of the things that really attracted him to this job, not only being able to come back home, so to speak, but to know that junior high team was loaded with talent. These coaches know what JVs and what junior highs are in each program, so that had to be attractive to him as well.
Yeah, Clay, I believe I lost you there for a few minutes. I don't know what happened.
No, I was just saying, you know, the talent that's coming up and this young talent must have been one of the things that attracted Coach Grader to the job, and the support from the administrative and the community around. Had to be a dream opportunity with a guy that caught bullpens in Major League Baseball, but this is a pretty good opportunity for Coach Grader.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's not just a good opportunity for him. It's a great opportunity for the program and the district. You know, it's not every day that you get a guy that's played at the level that he has to come in and coach your kids, man. It's just exciting for young baseball players coming up through our rec leagues and all to be able to set their eyes on that and gain so much experience and knowledge from a guy like Ashley.
Well, Rossi, I appreciate your time. Me and Jason talked yesterday, and so I guess I'm putting you on the spot, but we've got to get that equipment out of his trunk and over into your trunk and see if we can't get some Popperville baseball on the MixLR app here down this stretch run. If you would be willing, we can get that equipment to you and make it so.
Oh, absolutely, man. I'd love to do that. These Hornets are definitely on a roll. You know, their last two wins have been a big come-from-behind wins. They played an Oak Forest Academy team out of Amite City, Louisiana, earlier in the year. They traveled over there and really got a little embarrassed. Oak Forest, they're a really, really good baseball team. But then Oak Forest came over here Saturday, and it was similar to this Greene County game. They got down early. And then late in the game, we're able to get some runs on the board and come from behind and beat a really good Oak Forest squad. So the last two games that they've played have really had those coaches' stress levels up. And Coach Grader showed that in the dugout last night. He got pretty animated. You know, he's usually pretty calm and even keel, but he got pretty animated in the dugout last night with his ball players, and it really kind of sparked them to really pick it up a notch and come from behind to beat that Greene County squad.
That sounds like somebody similar just across the way there in Coach Beach, who rarely gets animated, but he knows when to pull that card when he needs to, and so that's a pretty good catch by you, Rossi. Man, we appreciate what you do for our media group, man, and we thank you for this time talking Popperville Hornet baseball.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me on.
Thank you, Rossi.
Making decisions on when and where to further your education is a big step in life, so let Pearl River Community College be the destination for you. Pearl River offers the first 2 years of any major and over 42 career and technical programs. They have three locations to better serve your educational needs: the Hancock Center at 454 Highway 90 Suite D in Waveland, the Forest County Center at 5448 Highway 49 South in Hattiesburg, and the main campus located at 101 Highway 11 North in Poplarville. Pearl River Community College. Roll, River, roll.
A longtime friend of mine and a friend of the podcast, Darby McCraney, is joining us to talk some Pearl River Central baseball. Darby's the PA announcer for the Blue Devils and a longtime supporter of Pearl River Central baseball. Darby, thanks for taking time for us.
Clay, thanks for having me, man.
Darby, let's look at last night's ball game. From all accounts, a real doozy of a high school affair. Kind of tell us what you saw in that tight ball game and how the Blue Devils were able to take it.
Well, we go into this game thinking that Camden Clark is going to be a dude. You know, we've seen him last year in game three and game one. But he's got a whole another year under his belt, and he's ranked nationally in the top 10 for strikeouts. So we go into this game looking at him, at least I do, you know, perspective wise, looking at him as a dude, right? And what was shocking was Roman Mitchell really matched his performance. And I don't think that anybody expected him to. He's a younger guy. I don't think that he's been pitching a really long time for the Devils, right? I mean, like, this is his second year. He's a sophomore, I believe. And he matched him hit for hit and scoreless inning for scoreless inning for six innings. I mean, it was really impressive by him. He grew up in front of our eyes last night. I mean, he was just dealing. So my story to the sixth inning was Camden Clark was as advertised, and Roman Mitchell was not. You know, he was significantly better than anyone expected him to be. So that was the storyline to the sixth inning. You get to the sixth inning, he comes out, and then we kind of Johnny Holstaff it from there to the rest of the game, or to the end of the game. And Lamont is what we call him, but Landon Lamartina comes in a tough spot. Bases are loaded. He walks in the run. And then he gets, I believe it's two strikeouts and a fly out to get us out of the jam. But they did scratch the first run. And then immediately following that, Connor Kaznave comes in, throws one or two outs, gets us out of there. Another little small jam. But the big story after the Roman Mitchell story was a guy named Sam Tumminello. Sam Tumminello he's been in a little bit of a slump. He's hitting like mid 100s batting average, and he had two massive hits last night, right up the middle. Just kind of closed the stance off, shortened up, and did what was necessary for two big hits. Jacob Johnson had a leadoff double in extra innings that ultimately was the game-winning run. That, I mean, it was just a lot. It was action-packed. It was gritty baseball. We got some free baseball, Clay. And as a baseball fan, that's always fun to experience. And it was cool because the really cool part for me was all of those people's performance led to being battle-tested. Because if you look at our schedule, it wasn't the toughest going into last night. That was my concern: was are we battle tested? Are we ready to go against this team? Right, but Max Preps has us both listed as top 10 programs in Mississippi, ranked programs in Mississippi right now. And man, was that performance just that? It was awesome.
That's cool, man. And correct me if I'm wrong, Darby, you were there. I was not, but a baseball purist can appreciate this, but it ends in a sack fly walk-off. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, that's correct. Connor Chapo Dice gets hit by a pitch to load the bases with no outs, extra inning, so it's the bottom of the eighth. And coming to the plate now is Isaias Ryan, and he hasn't even fouled a ball off that night. He was just kind of off from, you know, finding contact. And dude, he rips a deep routine fly to left field, and it scores a run without any issue. So it was cool. It was a fun walk off to watch. It really was.
Darby, I like the way you're doing storylines and themes to kind of describe last night's action. As you describe the year on a whole, we're kind of at that midway point, if you want to take into perspective some hopefully long runs for our team in a county playoff-wise. What's kind of been your theme up to this point? To me, the Blue Devils have overachieved a bit when you were kind of around town and community. I'm not sure many people expected quite this gaudy a record or to be number one in district standings at this point, but what's kind of been your storylines or your themes up to this point for the Blue Devils?
I really feel like we've kind of outkicked our coverage, man. Like, I didn't, coming into this year, if you want to talk about storylines, was just like, I don't know. I didn't expect us to be number one in the district. I figured we'd be probably number two behind West Jones because of the district isn't, you know, as gaudy as it has been in the past.
Right.
But we just kept stringing, you know, hits together and pitches together. And people, because of the culture there in Carrier, man, it's just like real similar to West Jones, if you will. Like, yep, they lose every year, but we also gain people every year, and they're pretty similar to the people that we had in the past. And it just, it's kind of just a culture thing. And but to describe our team this year, it's just been week after week of just doing what we were supposed to do and not what was expected from everybody around us. You know, just get a win here, there, get a win here, get a win there. And then next thing you know, you look down and we're 14-2, ranked number two in the district. And that's when it really clicked for me. Was like, oh, okay, we're doing a little more than I thought we were going to do. And then last night really let me know, like, this is potentially a deep playoff team, you know, because I know West Jones is. They sure got two guys with a sub. They got two guys in Camden Clark and Jackson Rayburn with a sub one ERA.
Choo.
Yeah, two, that's pretty stout.
I mean, we're going to SoSo Thursday to go after a pretty similar arm, you know. So you go and you play the way you did against them, that just solidifies the one ingredient that I was really looking for us, and that was being battle-tested. And now we are. I mean, you could just see the unity of the team just kind of happen all at once. You could see all these kids grow up all at once, and now we're ready for, you know, getting ready for a run.
Darby, when you look at it, one thing that jumped off the page to me just kind of reviewing some stats for this call was the stolen bases, man. If my math's right, the Blue Devils still in about 3.5 bags per ball game. And so a speedy team, man, up and down the lineup. They're not all coming from one spot either. I mean, it's kind of spread out throughout the lineup.
Yeah, we got some guys that can run, and I do mean that. Like 1-9, we are faster than we've probably ever been, I would imagine. I mean, I'm sure somebody might correct me if I'm wrong there, but I can't recall a team 1-9 that was faster. And we can run. So, but we didn't get a whole bunch of bags last night.
No, you're not with that kind of guy on a bump, huh? Bags, and you can't steal first. That's the old, you know, the old baseball lineup, but be able to survive him and get a win, certainly a big win. And you've described it. That's going to be a tough task going to their place on Thursday. And then the scheduling, you'll have them back in Carrier on Friday, Darby. Yeah, tell me what you expect crowd-wise for that ball game.
Well, one of the approaches that I thought, like, the approach for last night that I thought was real cool, and Neil's usually pretty crafty with these things, but we went Roman against their number one, right? So we still have a whole lot of pitching. I mean, we're kind of in the, from where I sit, we're kind of in the catbird seat as far as, like, bullpen options, what we want to do. But I expect another really brutal high school environment. Clay, last night was something I hadn't seen at the high school level, man. I mean, there was our student section was so thick and so loud and so, like, tuned in to every pitch. It was borderline, like, I don't know, like a JUCO environment. You know, it was really cool. It was really cool to experience. So I expect them and when we go up there Thursday, I expect to, you know, their student section, because they're known for the same thing, a hostile environment. It's one of the things that when you think of West Jones baseball, to me, you think of a team that's just always going to be ready to play and put their best foot forward and play really sound, clean baseball, and they have a awesome environment at home, and I think that we mimic that. So I expect the same thing there Thursday, and I hope our guys are able to get through that. And then Friday, I expect us to have another environment that's maybe even better than the one we experienced Tuesday here.
When you look at it, Darby, you continue to get starts like you did last night from Roman, and then – correct me if I'm wrong here, too. Jacob Johnson starting to build some pitch count, some innings. What would that mean deep into this season for that staff?
I don't know what the game plan is for Jacob Johnson, but in the event that he gets more and more innings, because he's pitched, you know, he's got an inning here, a couple innings there, but in the event that he becomes available to the Blue Devils. I mean, that just only makes us more dimensional, more dynamic on what we can do out of the bullpen. Because last night alone just kind of solidified a whole nother arm that we can count on. I mean, that was a huge thing for me. So if you just throw – now if you're able to throw Jacob Johnson, who's a PRCC commit for pitching – I mean, that just shows you the caliber of pitcher he is. If you get him in the fold to give you some good relief or whatever they have pictured for him, that's just going to make it even better for us trying to make a push into the later rounds of the playoffs.
Absolutely. Darby, man, I appreciate me being able to steal some time from you, man. It's always good to catch up and to talk baseball. We enjoy doing that with one another, whether it's recorded or not. Continued success up there, man. And I wanted to give you a shout-out for what you're doing through your church locally, through the youth on Wednesdays, right? It's Wednesday night, so I know you've got one that's under the weather, but you're doing a good job in our community, and it's not missed by me. So I appreciate you, Darby McCraney.
Thanks, Clay. I really appreciate it, man. We always trying to keep the Lord first and at the focal point. And if we do that, everything else will work itself out, man. And I'm just happy to be able to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Darby.
Love you, Clay. Have a blessed day, brother.
Thank you, Darby. Good luck to Reese, man. I'll be praying.
Thanks, brother.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Darby.
Fred's Westside Pharmacy is a family-owned business that has been serving Picayune for over 30 years. They offer light, durable medical equipment for patients such as diabetic testing supplies, walkers, canes, and more. They are open 9 to 5:30 Monday through Thursday, 9 to 4:30 on Fridays, and 9 to 12 on Saturdays. If you can't make it into the pharmacy, just call in your prescription and they will deliver it for free. They also offer curbside services if you're sick, have a car full of kiddos, or just in a hurry. Fred's Westside Pharmacy is located at 207 Kirkwood Street. Stop by or give them a call today at 601-798-8888. The friendly staff at Fred's Westside Pharmacy will be waiting to serve you.
Standing by now with head coach of the Picayune Maroon Tide, Evan Nicholson, off of a big win last night over George County Tide in a real good spot on top of district play with a 6-5 win. We've got Drew Esslinger in here. He's our observer today to try to keep me and Evan straight. But big win last night, Ev.
I appreciate it, man. Kind of started out kind of shaky, but kids battled, and we were able to come out on top.
When you look at it, we've kind of rehashed and hashed this out before we went on the air, but George County puts up a 4 spot in their first at-bat. Just kind of walk us through your reaction and your team's reaction to the big start for the Rebels.
Yeah, they jumped out on us. We kind of helped them out. We didn't really play our game in there in the first inning. We were a little jittery, it seemed like, kind of making the moment bigger than what it actually was. Brady, you know, he got back out there his first start, and honestly, he made some pitches. He looked pretty sharp there in that first inning, got some weak contact, kind of, you know, some balls fell in. And then, you know, we started throwing the baseball around a little bit. And, you know, in baseball, if you don't kill that, you know, they can snowball on you pretty quickly. We threw the ball around, and they applied a lot of pressure on us. And, you know, we ended up giving that 4 spot up in the first, put ourselves in a pretty good hole.
The response, Coach Kraft's triple, and then the emotion he showed at third, I kind of get choked up. It was so cool to see. I was watching on Tommy Upton's live stream. Man, Tommy does a phenomenal job with that, with the different views, but you could feel the emotion, and that's at that point really nothing had changed. It had just been a triple, but I'm sure in the ballpark it changed.
Yeah, that was kind of a momentum shift. You know, even in the bottom of the first, we were still kind of jittery. Petey swings at the first pitch, we just give up a 4 spot, we swing at the first pitch, pop it up, then Kyler hits the ball pretty good. Right at the right fielder, and Jamie kind of we talked about his at bat. He swings a first pitch breaking ball, and we just kind of went 1-2-3 really quick, kind of just out of ourselves. Well, once we got out of the second, you know, Mo's leading off the second, like we called them all together and just said, "Hey, man, we're down. You know, there's nothing we can do about what's happened. Let's start playing our baseball game. Start grinding out the bats. Put a pressure on these guys, and let's see what happens." And you know, Mo's been kind of struggling you know, for Mo anyways, for the past couple weeks. And, you know, to see him barrel the ball up, you know, it just probably, you know, for him, you know, it kind of released, felt, you know, had a release. And when he slid in the third, he was pretty pumped up, and he's yelling at the dugout. And, you know, we're a team that's got to play with some fire. You know, we don't just roll the ball out there. So when he slid in there, you know, with that emotion, I think it kind of gave us a little spark.
And Brady pitching, I know it didn't go exactly the way that he wanted it to go in that first half inning. You mentioned some soft contact, making some pitches, but the way the teammates want to respond for a senior that has fought back from injury, he gets the baseball. So, you know, that offense wanted to come around. I hate to use the term take him off the hook, but I will. And so I just love the response from the team.
Yeah, these guys are really kind of starting to gel. They've always been a pretty close-knit group up here for the past couple weeks. They've really been doing things together outside of here. They're into the fishing right now. They're fishing all the time together. And you can kind of, it's kind of translating out to the field. You know, everybody was excited to have Brady back last night. So, you know, those guys wanted to rally around him and get us back into the ball game. Cause you know, he made some good pitches there in the first. He got the big strikeout with the bases loaded. You know, we very easily could have got out of that inning, only giving up one run. Cause, he made some pitches when he had to. It's just a testament to kind of like a well-battled team, you know, battle-tested team. They've pretty much seen, you know, just about everything you can throw at them going down in the first inning like that. We've done that before in the playoffs and come back and made a ball game. And so it was just kind of one of those things of just settling everybody in and, you know, not making the moment bigger than what it was, you know, because really it was just a Tuesday night baseball game on April the 2nd, you know, if you really want to get technical. So once they settled in, you know that we started playing our game.
Evan, when you look at it, a team Saturday that really had to grind offensively against West Harrison, it's been pitching and defense that's really the tide have rode through this hot streak and this winning streak. But last night, you had to have the offense, and it shows up. What I'm babbling about is to be the coach of a team that can win in several different ways, several style baseball games. That's certainly going to prepare you for later in this district and then hopefully a long playoff run.
Oh, for sure. I mean, even going into the year, you know, we know that we're going to ride our arms. Our pitching is, you know, going to keep us in every game. We've played really good defense with the exception of two ball games. So far, you know, hopefully we can keep that going. And honestly, I mean, it's a cliche, you know, you hear coaches say all the time, but I honestly feel this way. We haven't played our best baseball as far as putting everything together. We got guys who are still scuffling, they're showing signs of coming out of it. But, you know, we haven't really put it all together, you know, at one time except for maybe opening night where everybody was kind of clicking. So it's like I told him last night in the huddle after the game, you know, we rarely win a game when Kyler King doesn't get on base, you know, and, you know, he didn't get on base last night. And, you know, Morgan's been scuffling, and then Morgan comes through with two big knocks. So it's just going to be a different guy every night. And if we can kind of take that, you know, selflessness mentality, you know, not being selfish and just, you know, next guy up, you know, pick each other up, you know, because not everybody's going to have it, you know, on the same night. So if we continue to do that, I feel like good things are going to happen.
Coach, you're getting healthy. We've mentioned Brady waiting on little brother Colt to come back and to be able to add an arm that's already committed up to Pearl River Community College. But I'll say add an arm and Landon. When you look at, like, Watts, we didn't see very many innings pitched at all a year ago. And then him closing these things out, he is electric, man. He's fun to watch from behind the plate with that same arm, of course. But then when he climbs on top of that bump and he's wanting a baseball back quick, he pitches with a certain demeanor to him. He's fun to watch.
Yeah, he's very competitive, man. He wants to win. You know, I don't know if there's anybody in the locker room really that wants to win as much as he does. A lot of times he's a very competitive kid, and he's an emotional kid, and it helps him and hurts him at the same time. But, you know, having him, you know, nobody really knew about him coming in, you know, because we didn't have anybody could catch him last year once Morgan went down. But having him, you know, doing what he's doing, it just gives us so much depth. You know, we can kind of, you know, piece things together throughout the week, you know, not have to ride one guy so much, so people can kind of stay fresh. But getting Brady back's huge. You know, you gives us more depth on a pretty good staff. You know, you still got Kyler. He hasn't even thrown very many innings. He threw well Saturday. And then, you know, Tanner and Cooper and Braxton Carter, they've all done good things. So adding Brady to the mix is just, I mean, it's a luxury, honestly.
And Coop has been able to pitch. He's been able to really throw well, give you some innings there. You mentioned not having somebody to catch Landon at the tail end of last year. Let's talk about Bayless and the job he's done. He made a play, I guess it's been a week and a half ago, against an attempted squeeze play that really most backup catchers are going to botch. And,
absolutely.
And he didn't. He's been solid behind the plate when he's had to come in. Drew or Evan, y'all can speak to this. I can't, sitting cold and then coming in, catching land and stuff. That's got to be dang near a nightmare to do off the bench. But he's done a good job coming in and catching.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, coming in, we weren't sure, you know, what to expect. You get scout reports on the kid when he moves in. You know, you don't really know him. You don't know what he can do. But, man, ever since the first day, you know, pretty much tell him, hey, man, look, this is your role. We got an all-district catcher coming back. And, you know, this is your role. And not one day has the kid not bought into it. He has really fit in with us and gelled nice with the guys. And, you know, it's hard to get a 16, 17, 18-year-old kid to buy into a role like that. And he's done it. He has bought into it. So I think since he has bought into it that way, that's why he's having some success. I mean, he threw a kid out last night. And a lot of teams, he'd be a starting catcher. You know, without him, you know, we were talking about it last night, how big, you know, it's been for him to step up, because, you know, we can't have Landon throw. And so I'm proud of the kid. He's worked his tail off and really just become a big part of the team.
Coach, we talk a lot out here about this senior class. They've been talked about a lot for a long time, kind of waiting on this group. That could play on the underclassmen. I talk a lot when I have the pleasure to call y'all's game about this junior group. They've been good this year at the top of the order. Parker Helton's worked himself, I guess, from the 8 spot up to the 1 spot. He's done a tremendous job. Cooper Moreau, Turner Pugh, and some spot duty. I'm going to miss a few there. Coach, clean me up where I've missed. But the juniors have been good to support this senior class.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's strange to just kind of see the different dynamics that each group brings. You know, the seniors are a little more, for lack of a better word, just kind of goofballs. You know, they show up, they get their work in, but they're kind of like, you know, they're going to goof off and, you know, have a good time with it. The seniors or the juniors are a little more, you know, business oriented. Those guys show up, they're meticulous about their work, you know, and it's every one of them, really. You know, when they're doing their T-work, their cage work, you know, from Cooper to Justin to Franklin.
Yeah, Franklin. Would have been mad. Justin would have been mad, too. Good job, Coach.
So, Turner, all those guys are very, you know, meticulous in what they do. And then Brunson brings a crazy dynamic of athleticism. I mean, like, he's scuffling a little bit, but even scuffling, he can do so many things to help you win. So that junior group, man, they kind of get lost in the shuffle, you know, a little bit. But they're very good, not supporting cast, that's not the right word. But they're very good, you know, they're a very good mix with the seniors. They kind of all gel together. And, you know, they've been around each other so long and played so many innings together. Now it's really just one big group. We're not going to fall off as much as people think, you know, with these guys getting all the experience that they're getting. And there's a lot of guys on that bench that, honestly, on any other team, they could be getting a lot of playing time. Turner, you know, he's kind of filling in here and there. You know, guys like that. And so it's good to have being able to get them the experience.
And you would sense this, Coach, probably not as much, because everybody's going to kind of act right in front of the head coach. But a guy like me that is just kind of hanging around, you'd see the ones that would maybe drop their head a bit for not having the reps or their start. I never sensed that from this group. They've done a a tremendous job when their time's called, doing a job, and then not pouting when it's not.
Yeah, I mean, we preach it. I mean, we preach tugging on the rope, same direction. You know, we want to all be pulling the same direction, and you know, selflessness, and you know how it's going to take everybody doing their part, you know, to really make this thing go. And like, they've got good examples. I mean, you take a guy like Braxton Carter. I was telling somebody, he's the ultimate teammate, man. He was in the dugout last night, just in every pitch. He pitches when he's called upon. He gets out there. He plays some third base anytime his number's called. And, you know, he's the ultimate teammate. So these guys have some guys that's been around that, you know, they're learning from, you know, because it's – not everybody's name can be in the paper. No, not everybody's going to hit the three-run homer. Not everybody's going to, you know, throw the perfect game. And so, you know, it takes everybody doing a job. And these kids are really buying into it.
Coach, I always say, you know, most high school teams are going to be as good as their best player, the way he carries himself. I credit Kyler. I think he does a pretty good job of leading in a selfless manner, unless you see something different.
No. He, just like last night, man, you could tell he was frustrated a little bit with his at-bats. You know, he kind of got himself out a little bit, and we've talked about that. And, you know, but at the same time, he never stops playing hard. He's constantly in the dugout, you know, picking people up and you know, telling people, let's get going. And he does a great job with that. And really, I mean, most of those seniors do. So as long as we've got that going, you know, good things can happen.
Coach, we'll go on the road Friday, and then we'll be back here on Saturday. The type of atmosphere, the type of crowd support, this is a team now 7-0. In district play on a long winning streak, the type of support you'd like to see out here Saturday afternoon. That should be a 1 o'clock first pitch, and what that means to this group of kids who's worked really hard. I mean, I get to see it a pretty good bit. They put in a ton of work for the success that they're having, but what it would mean to this group to have this place full of Maroon Tide faithful.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, any time you can get a crowd, these kids especially, man, these kids feed off of energy. They always have. That's why I think we've had a little bit of success in the playoffs, because picking people who really, I mean, just being honest, they don't show up till playoff time.
You know, spoiled, yeah.
So anytime we can get a crowd out here, man, if we can travel to George County on Friday night, Tanner Busby's going to be on the mound. They're going to have an electric crowd. That's a very good baseball team. You know, anytime we can have any type of support is very much appreciated. And these kids feed off of it, and they have worked really hard. Really, not just this offseason, but honestly for 4 years, 3 years, you know, they've worked their tails off to, you know, put themselves in this situation to have an opportunity, you know, to win a district, to make a playoff run. So any type of support is very much appreciated, and it'd be good for the community to get behind these guys.
I agree. Thank you, Coach, for your time.
Thank you, man.